You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
And welcome back to Napping Through Happy Hour, where we talk about real life, real trauma, in real time. I'm Marie.
And I'm Katie. Welcome.
Hi.
We have a special guest here today. Marie, I feel like you will give a better introduction, but from what I know of them, they're amazing. They're super kind. They're very funny. And they're a DJ. Everyone, please welcome DJ Nico.
DJ Nico. Also my partner.
Also your partner. Yeah, what would you introduce them as?
I think you said like that. I mean, the only thing is I would have been like, dad, DJ Nico.
That's what my friends say when they're making fun of me.
Wait, why?
Because I think I'm so cool. Like, they'll be like, oh, is that... Dat DJ Nico.
Dat DJ Nico. Nico, are you working on any songs or anything right now?
I'm not working on any songs. I belong to like a lot of different collectives right now. So it's mostly playlists. Like all the genres in the collectives are different. So I do like a goth kind of, you know, indie electro one. So I'm always making playlists for that. And then Family Affair. Just constantly making a lot of playlists, I would say. Beat matching them. Yeah. It's like kind of putting a puzzle together, I would think of it as like that.
Oh, that's really fun. I like that idea.
You like puzzles?
Well, yeah, I freaking love puzzles. I'm a nerd.
Wait, let me ask Nico, because I know that you said it recently, and like, because Nico's like just said goth, and like a Family Affair is like 90s, 2000s music. There's a name for the type of DJ that plays different genres. What was that? We just learned it recently.
Oh yeah, I did just learn it. I've been having a fun time using that word. open format DJ.
Open format DJ. Yeah. Wow. I've not heard that one before.
It's wild, right?
Yeah. No, it makes sense, but it's interesting. What does that entail, really?
So within the DJ community, there's a lot of like, I didn't realize this until I started playing more, is there's just like a lot of different types of DJs. So like there's a group of queer DJs that I would say, like, I would consider them kind of top tier. Like, they make their own music. Like, they'll play on, like, four decks, you know, very... But they only play that, like, dancey, techno club music, right? Like, you wouldn't hire them for, like, a wedding or, like, your birthday party. But they
Unless
wouldn't...
you want your wedding or birthday party to be lit.
Totally, okay. Totally. Okay. But like those musicians are also, they stick to their craft. Like they don't take requests. Like they're very disciplined, I would say.
So like Diplo is definitely not not an open format.
Yeah.
Diplo is very
Diplo. You know, when people, those kind of, the Diplo DJs, and there's a lot, and they're really cool. It's like type of DJ where people are like coming to the stage and just like, and yeah, there are a couple of queer DJs who get it popping like that in San Francisco.
Yeah, for sure.
The biggest, the most popular, like, poppin' thing to be asked to do right now, they just had it in San Francisco, is it's called Boiler Room.
Okay.
And you probably, they have them in LA too, if you ever want to check them out. And they have them, it started in London. And what they do is they throw these huge underground, like, DJ parties with all these, like, really top name DJs in the city. And then they video record it and put it on the Boiler Room website.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that just boilerroom.com? Like, what is that?
I think it's just called boilerroom.com. They have an Instagram too. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Marie, how you doing this week?
Yeah.
I'm okay. We just got back from LA. We had a good time.
Yeah.
I told you about our smoking. Our smoking chart. But
would anyone else like to tell that story? Because I heard it. Our listeners haven't, and just also a friendly reminder, if you don't want anything, I will cut it out. But
okay, yeah.
Would anyone like to tell this story?
I think it's funnier away from it. That day we did not find this funny.
Understandable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a real, pretty much like we had a rental car. I'm not 24 anymore, so I do understand that, you know, you can't smoke weed in rental cars anymore, right? Like, that's something I would have done when I was young. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Which kind of made the situation more like hurt. Like, it kind of hit me more just because that was kind of like behavior I would have done when I was using alcohol.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was like, it felt like it just, if that was the only kind of like, it just sucks when you really honestly didn't do something. But however, when I was, you know, putting things in my pockets and stuff, my pipe fell out. And so the rental car driver decided to charge us $250, which was more money than our entire trip cost. Like, yeah, it just, and gosh. Yeah,
it's the funny thing is it was kind of the slow motion roll of it too.
Yeah.
At first they sent me a message saying they were charging a smoking fee. So I was like, yeah, fucking right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no way. Like, there's no way. And I was like, even if like someone had smoked next to the car before we got out there, you know, it would have like dissipated by now. I was like, so I don't know what they're trying to do. And because I was like, I bet you, I don't know, he had like a cigarette. I don't know what he was doing when we got there. I was like, he probably was just smoking near the car. And now it smells. So I'm arguing with them.
she goes hard too.
Yeah, I do. I'm a Janelle. I'm like,
she's like a lawyer.
Yeah. That's no, that's every funny. Detail needs to be accounted for.
Yeah. I was like, you're going to tell me why the hell you just charged me. I was like, this is ridiculous. And it's funny that so I get on the chat with the guy from their customer service, and he was like, oh, yeah, there was a strong smoke smell in the car. And he's like, and you also left something in the car. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like looking around. I was like, I think I have everything important. I was like, what did I leave?
Yeah.
Then this motherfucker sends me a picture of a beautifully packed. It was like.
I was it's like at that point, it's like, hands up, cut. Like,
no, well, see, I fought a little bit. I was like, I didn't smoke that. I did it because I, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, because I was like, it wasn't me. It wasn't on my side. So I was like, I don't know.
And it also was not smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really was like, because $250, and I guess it's like as a regular marijuana smoker, I know that, like, it's a smell that only lingers if you've been smoking a lot. We're talking about you have to put time in. It's a smell that dissipates pretty quickly if you're not smoking. There's nothing for it to kind of like get into. And I don't like what I want to know what dude was like, oh, I'm telling all these people on, you know, it's just like that.
Right. Instead of suck. Just being like, okay, like,
yeah,
hit the pipe, like, do what you want with it's it.
Like, yeah, like, you took a picture of it and sent it to your company.
I know. I mean, I guess, like, you know, those things they go through reviews, like, it's probably so corporatized that, like, he may have had to, you know, and who knows if he just pockets that money. Like, I mean, I kind of find that hilarious that if that's the game that guy played, is that he gets to pocket $250 and go home with a pack pipe. Like,
So that was the only thing I was willing. I was like, if it was a really strong smell and he had to turn over the car quickly, I'm going to give you that grace. Like, but it's still kind of like, it's, I know for sure, and they call them surfers, like the people you turn it into. The surfers up here are high when they pick up your car. Like, so it's a funny thing that in LA, we get like charger, like that drug user. Like,
oh my God.
Oh my gosh. It was funny too, because I was like, oh, of course. I was like, charge the black woman for smoking drugs in the car.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh no.
I was a little like ridiculous. But after a while, I was just like, whatever. But it's funny because I'd already written, before we knew what it was, I'd already written them a bad review. I was like, it was like, I was done. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever. But still, even that, I talked to him about language. I was like, well, it didn't smell like smoke in the car now, did it? And he's like, okay, well, you know what I mean. And I was like, that's different.
You can't concede to that and then still charge the full $250. Yeah. Like, I mean,
and he's like, it's a pungent smell. I was like, they have to take the car out of commission. I'm like, get with the program. Like, no, we all know that's the weed wasn't sitting in there for days, burning up and like is in the carpet. Like, I was just like, you don't have to take the, whatever. But it's funny now, I think.
It's not that funny to me.
This is what I was wondering. I was like, I don't know if it's been enough time for Nico.
Oh, no. I get the humor. The humor in it, I totally get. It's just, you know, for me though, now I can't pay my rent because I have to pay that $250 fee to the, and I can, you know, maybe I did like break a rule or something, but so this huge corporation, they're going to pay their rent, but like, I don't think they realize, like, I just think, I wish these corporations would like realize like the domino effect of this, because $250, I think that's a lot of money for someone who lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, it is.
But I mean, what you all said does make sense too. Maybe that guy lives paycheck to paycheck, and if he didn't report me, he would have gotten a paid. You know, it's just the capitalism, I guess.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. So understandable and fair.
But it is funny. Like, I totally get the humor of the situation. And I always, in those situations, I always appreciate Marie having a sense of humor about it, because, like, it was not any way at all her fault in any, like, sort of way. But, like, the accountability did come down on her. So, she's always like this. Like, anytime, like, something shitty happens, like, she just deals with it, and she doesn't make you feel bad about it. I self-shame myself, of course, you know, like, white people love to do that, right?
We do. We really do. Like, it's one of our things.
But it's like, but, like, once you realize you can't cry yourself out of a situation, I guess you gotta just buck up.
I mean, like, where does the self-hatred come from, or like the self-flagellation come from?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. My therapist and I work, we talk about this a lot. We try to like go, I mean, I don't know, you know, I think you got to work backwards to go forward. So, I mean, it must something to do with my childhood, but you know, I don't know, I guess, who knows?
Well,
are any of you that way at all?
Self-flagellating absolutely is one of my things, and for silly stuff too. Like, I get the financial stress of that situation, but like things where I'm just like, I just see like the chain effect that like this led to this and this led to that, you know, and that I self-flagellate on that shit all the time. But I also think it was like, it was almost instilled in me when I was younger that like, if no one's going to be the parent, you have to parent yourself. And then like if I'm like getting like too much leeway to do whatever, cause no one's really paying attention to me, I need to self-regulate, because otherwise I'll go nutty. And that's kind of where mine comes from. It just keeps hammering back in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it's funny because I think I definitely self-flagellate, but a lot less than I used to. It's weird, but when I do it, I go hard. Like, the self-hate just runs. But I was telling Nico, I said, you know, when we self-flagellate and we're like, oh, I did this wrong thing, sometimes that energy, because you're spending so much time in you that you're not thinking about the harm you did, and that person never, so you leave that person dealing by themselves.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, and so I was like, when I, sometimes I'm self-flagellating because I caused harm. Well, if I just buck up to it, right, sooner, I get to like figure out faster how I can help them repair. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, totally. I think it's a hard thing to do. And it's not always the case because, you know, you can feel a lot of shame in a lot of places. I was like, in times when, like, I was like, hey, don't, I remember being like, you don't need to cry about it. I got to cry about it. And they're taking my money right now.
I was stealing the thunder. In a serious way though, I think, I don't know how y'all's, you know, relationship, you and Mark's relationship is, but like, I do feel like, as our relationship grows, the key for me doing my part and like moving forward is to kind of realize that I'm not upset as I am. I'm just somehow trying to, whether it's conscious or not, I'm manipulating the situation with my emotions, if that makes sense. Because I think Marie is right. Like, that what happened in that instance was I was, you know, she was the one that got charged. And we don't get in, we don't really fight about this kind of stuff. But, like, we can get a fight or anything. But, like, yeah, she's completely, like, I do that sometimes where it's, like, someone else needs room to be upset. And it's like, I feel so guilty. I like just flip it, you know? And I think it's hindered a lot of progress in other areas of my life too.
Oh man. Well, I think also like kind of with the self-flagellation is like a continuation tripping type of thing.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, so recently for me, like last year, all of my shit that started came from, we went out to go hang out with friends, and it was the first time we had been in like open public areas and or like also like theaters and stuff. Like, we went and we saw a friend do a comedy show. We went to dinner. We went out to another friend's show that Mark helped write the show. And we did all sorts of things. And then like the next week we got COVID and I self-flagellated about that. And I was like, I have ruined my chances at like getting jobs or like going out and like auditioning or things like that. And so I was out for that. And then I started to finally get better. And then I got a big audition for a video game. And then finally tested negative, went to do the audition, blew my knee out. And now I'm like, so it's almost like I'm self-tripping every time I completely focus on me and self-flagellate.
I 100%. You know? I don't know what y'all think about this, but like, I also find like, it's hard to like, have a positive outlook on life, you know, like, and because I feel like every time I do, or I get confident about something, something just comes right back and like,
so you're puts always me back on my ass. Other,
yeah.
You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. Because I mean, I'll take, for instance, like, what was it? Oh, I was asked to throw a very big New Year's Eve party. And I was super pumped. I booked like pretty much a very intricate, like unique lineup. There was a party next door that I thought we were going to get the overflow from. I'm not lying. I thought I was going to make around $2,000.
Yeah.
And you know, it was that weekend. The weather was done, you know, like bad. And I lost money.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard. So it's like, how do you maintain that confidence?
It was flooding. I just want to keep saying that. It was flooding.
Which is also like, those are things that are completely out of your hands. Totally. Like, how were you to know that that was going to happen, you know, and that was a weird New Year's.
Was it raining in LA?
Yeah, I think it rained a bit in LA. Yeah, yeah. I was just recently out of my knee surgery after that, so like I remember some things a little bit better than others, but New Year's was definitely, it was raining on and off again, and it was raining hard, so I know like the weather was shitty and like no one was really in the mood, and like everybody's getting COVID right now, so like that's a scary thing too. And
totally,
so I think there was a lot of things that were stacked against you, and how could you see that coming?
Totally. But then on the other hand, it's funny because when I think something's going to be shitty, it ends up being fucking awesome. Like, so, and it's interesting, right? Like, not that I thought I wasn't expecting our family affair party the following week because of the way I wasn't expecting that, you know, to be very big. And it turned out to be our most successful party.
Oh.
So it's just, when do we let our guard down, I guess, is the question. Like,
do you let your guard down, or do you learn to take the slips with the, you know, the rises? I think, and I think that's funny because I know I'm doing that Noom thing and I keep thinking about this, and I understand that it's psychological. And like, the thing is, so goes life. Like, that is literally life. It is up and it is down. And my mom used to always say that. And I think I'm just kind of, it's funny how I'm now applying it to like my dieting, my yo-yo dieting or whatever. Like, it rains on the good and the bad, you know? There's nothing to it. There's no rhyme or reason. I think that it does even out. When you like, I do believe that there is like, you could go completely the wrong way, right? Like, you can choose to continue to make bad choices, and that, you know, maybe there's not as much ebb and flow. You might still get a couple wins, you know, doing bad things. Mm-hmm. But I think attempting to make and do the right thing is what all you can do.
I mean, and that's totally right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting too, because I feel like I get that anxiety because I've always said that my luck is on a pendulum swing. Like, I go from like the luckiest person alive to like the worst luck in the whole world. And then it just swings and I don't know which way it's swinging. And I'm like, that causes me anxiety to think about that constantly. And it kind of reminds me of a story that I heard of Will Ferrell when he would pitch sketches in the SNL cast. He's like, you know, sometimes you would just hit one out of the park in the room and then on stage it just flopped. Or sometimes you would have one that like really, really was bombing in the room to the point where they would cut it. And he was like, and at that point we would just lean into them. And it was like, I'd never heard this idea of leaning into the bad situation and just kind of have fun with it. And that sort of changed, I mean, look, the anxiety is always going to be there.
Yeah.
But like, it changed my way of looking at anxiety, where it's like, if I'm going to bomb, why not bomb hard? Which kind of applied to my knee blowing the hell out for that audition. But it was like, I know I'm going to like do that in my heart in any audition. I'm going to go all out. I just also now know, like, I have to be more careful with my knees.
It feels like, and it's funny, I just read this morning. It feels like to survive, and it's kind of what you're doing, is you're kind of doing the, oh, well, at least, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that was a trick recommended to me today in my lesson, right?
Like, nice.
It's the kind of giving into it, like, oh, well, I could still go tomorrow, or, oh, well, I'll do it next time, or, like, at least I didn't do this, or I still have this good thing. I like that version of it. Oh, well. And I think that's kind of what we did to recover, and I kept saying all night to, you know, during the New Year's party, wait a second, who do I have to prove anything to? Yeah. We have a party that we regularly throw, people show up for. We can do it. Like, it's not something that we've never done. You know, it was flooding. It's funny because in all my years, and I've lived in and out of this place since 2006, 2004, I've never seen flooding here ever.
Wow.
And like, that's, I mean, this is a foot city. This is a foot traffic city, right? Like, people walk everywhere and they rely on public transportation. We're out and they bike. This is that it would not be.
And those are some slick streets sense. There.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, it's flooding. Who the fuck knows what to do with that shit? Like,
no,
what the fuck?
No one. And it's amazing to me how diversely landscape your city is in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How that hasn't been an issue before. Like,
I guess in some areas, I totally see how it could be an issue. Like, but it's funny, where we live, I get why people don't think about it, because we're literally on a hill that's like this.
Yeah, it just runs like right down. Like,
flood. Our storage drains, I think, got a little bit of a workout, but even that.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while, because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
You know? That was just... Maybe I just keep imagining
the, like, yeah, I would just keep imagining like a Disneyland log ride or something. And it's just like every street is just that chute that like terrified me as a kid.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're doing too. That's funny. Right as you pop out for the picture.
Exactly. Splash Mountain, yeah. That's the one. Sorry, I'm not a Disney head, so I don't know it as well.
Disney gay. Yeah. We call them Disney gays.
Oh yeah, well, no, that's definitely a thing.
No, so there's a lot of gays that are really into Disney. Yeah. Like, it's a thing.
No, well, there
you probably know. You live in Southern California.
Right? Exactly. And there are people that really make it their personality. Disney.
Yes.
And
it's like it's a whole segment of like social media is just dedicated to content creating content around Disneyland and Disney. Yeah. I love a lot of it because I love, you know, how that all makes me feel.
I have this like old coworker. Like, I mean, we only worked together like 3 months, so we don't, you know, we follow each other on Instagram. We don't know each other very well, but her and her husband are Disney aficionados. Is that how you say aficionado?
I mean, yeah. I think that is one of them. Yeah,
I love it when they go to Disneyland because what she does, she loves to eat. So she takes she takes a picture of everything, all the food she gets, and rates it out of 10 stars. And I live for it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, that's the kind of shit, because it's like, I don't know. When I was a kid, if we had the like random chance to go to Disneyland, like, we packed lunches. Like, there was no way we were buying food at the parks. So seeing those does actually bring me joy, because I'm just like, what do they have? I never really.
There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of variety of food.
Yeah.
Was it insanely expensive? Like, because like that's what was always the fear.
A lot of it is, of course. But I think there are really good things that you can get that like for less than $20. That might be all you get all day, you know.
Right. Well, and but, that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's expensive. I guess it's to
but if you're like, if you go and ball like on somebody else's budget or maybe the like revenue you might get for doing that on your TikTok or something like that, like that could be a self-fulfilling business.
Well, it's funny because this is totally going to age me, but they have I think a lot of these people are passport holders or annual passport or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. With the Disneyland tickets. Pass. Yeah. The annual pass. Yeah.
I had one when I was young, actually had it for 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
But that's when my mom had to, you know, scrape together the $100, $130 for the upgrade. Like that's what it costs. Those things are at least $1,000 now. Like,
oh yeah, minimum.
They're crazy expensive. So I think
remember I did it around college because I had a friend who was going all the time and was like, let's just go hang out there. And I was like, okay. And we had our bachelorette there, and that like that year was fun, but it was like at least then like a $300 ticket, and I was in college, and I was like, this is a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
It is. To go and then spend more money.
Yeah. You could now smoke weed in you could smoke weed in a rental car for that amount of money.
You could. Yeah, you could openly do that and like not incur any issue. Yeah.
Ball out.
But that's the thing. It is. It's so expensive.
So I will say this. I went to Disney World before, and it's like the way you save on eating is getting their package deals. Right, they have these deals. It's like these all. It's when you get like the all inclusive packages, which I think they're even more expensive now.
Okay,
but you know, with the hotel, because Disney World has like the hotels, the everything's themed. So you stay in a themed hotel. You take the themed bus from the themed airport wing, you know what I mean? Like, you do the whole thing, and then you can pre-buy meals, and even if you don't, so then you can go and eat anywhere in the park, which is the great thing, because you places you probably wouldn't be able to eat, like, or you wouldn't, like, really, you know, all of a sudden you can get and try more things.
Like the Club 33 thing, or the, like...
That I think Club 33 you can't try. Club 33 is that
this is such a whole world. Like, I've lived with people who are very much Disney people and like knew all the ins and outs of all this stuff, and like every once in a while I hear something and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Is it like a nightclub?
It's like an exclusive club within Disney. What? It's like a door. You'll see, I think when you pass one of the restaurants or something, there's a door that says 3-3, which is supposed to be like the Mickey Mouse ears. It was also supposed to, there's some kind of, the three is a big symbol apparently in Disney, which just makes me think of Judeo-Christian.
Illuminati.
No, like the Trinity and all this stuff. And the number three being fairly important and all that. I don't know. That's just one of those things that I kind of always assumed. But yeah, it's like a whole other place. But then you have like expensive drinks and expensive food that's like, you don't get this food anywhere else in the park, but you get it here or something.
Yeah.
Is what I heard. And
I know
people are on wait lists for this.
Wow.
For years, people are on wait lists for this.
And only it's just to be in the category of people to get on the wait list is, you know, nobody knows how you do it. A lot of, it's like about knowing each other and being like a bit, I think, big fans, like super fans have gotten to do it, things like that. I know my friend who has worked at Disney for years, and I think he was like a higher upper. He got to eat there. But I think it's outside, because there's a restaurant inside the Pirates of the Caribbean, which I've eaten at, and it was amazing. And then I think Club 33 is in that area as well, like right around there. And it's upstairs and like inside of one of their little.
Next, you doing it? No, all our next friendship outing, we're going to Club 33, y'all.
Oh, really? I will say that like there are like certain, I feel like, celebrities that can get in or like jump the wait list.
Yeah. Like TNT?
Like TNT Dynamite. Yes. Yeah. Yes. good old Tori N. Thompson.
Shout out.
Yeah. Shout out. But yeah, no, he you know, once he
hits it, are you?
Pretty well see. I don't know about
that.
We'll find out.
Conversation if you ever get to eat at Club 33.
Yeah.
I will bring you guys along if I get to a place of any kind of recognizing ship. And that will be maybe never. So I think that's going to be one of those things that I will continue to work at and never get. But those types of people absolutely will get into Club 33 with like no waitlist.
There we go.
Or like their waitlist is shorter if they. But it's like it's still like an annual fee that you have to pay to get in, right? Like,
really? I see. Is that the? I always thought so. From my understanding, it's like, knowing somebody, there might be, and then maybe there's levels to it. It's like it might be a combination of those things. It's basically
this stuff feels like Scientology in a way.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's like another thing that we as average folks won't ever understand because we're not supposed to understand, right? It's like the Illuminati of Disneyland.
You know, and it, like, and then there's like layers to it, and like there's so many like theories behind like all the like stuff that happens. Yeah, it's just there's so much to the mythos that even is Disneyland or Disney World or Disney whatever. It reaches as far as their corporation has reached the entirety of the world. So, you know, I guess there's got to be some kind of like. Do you ever think about, like, if for some reason we as a society, please forgive me if this is just going to sound like an existential crisis, but, like, if we as a society just kind of, like, blipped out, like, we are not here on Earth, but everything that we have had or touched or whatever is left, like, what another society would think about us? Like, we worship screens so clearly, you know? We had our small screens to look at when we were done with our big screens or while we were watching our big screens, or like what another foreign society would think about like what we've left behind.
It's funny that you say that, because I was just watching a TikTok of this student. She just came to the United States from Japan. And I'll have to send it to you guys, but she just, you know, it's so funny. She loves America.
Okay.
And the reason she loves America are just saying why we're so ridiculous. You know, like she was like, I get to go out in pajamas all the time now. And you can fall asleep at the movie theater because the seat reclines. And it's just like,
I've done that.
Saying like, Americans just love to relax. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, we really do.
But the funny thing is we love it, but we don't get to. Uh-huh. So that's we don't really get to. Like,
well, it's that constant relaxed? Fight. It's that pendulum swing of going back and forth from like going hard and going lazy. And like, there's just such a like fast gap in between the two. And I think that's why a lot of us have a lot of anxiety is because we're going from like, one crazy thing to one cool thing to one crazy thing to one cool thing.
Fair enough.
You know, and it just feels like at a certain point, like we kind of have to do have like a nice middling ground between the two.
But you've lived, I was just thinking, Marie, you've lived abroad for like a little bit, right? Like out of the country.
I mean, for travel. You know, I don't think America is the greatest country in the world. I'm not saying it's a bad country. I have to preface that because I think sometimes when people hear you say you don't think it's the greatest country in the world, you know, all of a sudden.
You don't want that audience.
I'm just saying I think there are people who are, I think there are governments that are doing better, right?
Yeah.
You know, and,
But
there's also places that are doing a lot worse. But like, I think like, and maybe this is not for me to say, and who am I to say what's better or worse, but like Cambodia, like people are happy as fuck there.
Yeah.
I mean, but live in extreme poverty. There's been, you know, the Chinese government has like made all these contracts and things and taken over a lot of the capital and built buildings and brought in their own workers. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like now that all this money is flooded in, it's made the gap even worse. And I would love to be as happy as I know Cambodians to be. And of course, you know, I'm sure the other, you know, I'm not saying they're just all happy all the time, but there's definitely, I found more to be like appreciation for life and it's in the simple things. But you can see that just that gap growing between who's poor and who's everyone else. Like now tourists are coming in because now there's all these fancy, you know, things to do and nicer hotels and, you know, and, you know, it's no regulation on how you build these buildings. And it's sad to see. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's complicated because I'd love to be that happy. But it's not
I also would not better. Like to be that poor.
You know, and just so we don't let, just like, dude, like this is a thing right now, right? Like, the new conquerors. What's the word? Not conquerors.
I'm guessing white men.
No, so a lot of like Nigeria is another one. Chinese and Nigerian governments. There's a lot like this. Like this is a new thing. Like where, they're just sending out their people to populate the earth. I don't know if this is out. I don't know if I'm saying this right. So I'm like worried that it's sounding a bit problematic, but like, I don't know if you heard of these like businesses, they're taking work from the local people. Like they bring in their own workers.
Exactly. As people think that like people from Mexico are doing to America is what is happening in another country.
Yeah, and I actually just read an article that kind of coincides with this morning about how a lot of these huge corporations are now starting to buy out like buildings that people can't afford to rent anymore. So that now they can offer them to their employees and pay them less because they're like, hey, we're giving you a house. And then that in turn, they don't have to pay fair living wages anymore. So it's just, it's very interesting. We saw a TV show. Remember that TV show? Richard Gere played like a corrupt journalist and he rigged an election to where like a Trump kind of person won. But like, they were offering, oh, if you work for me, you get a free home and I'll give you gift certificates, but only to this grocery store. And essentially these corporations are building their own town.
Yes. They did. Oh, and they did
what
that.
What show is this? I'd love to watch this.
It's great.
They did that in Mexico. That's
I'll have to send it to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Colonizing. The word I've been looking for is colonizing.
Got it.
And
knew it had to do with white guys. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I don't think they're it's definitely never going to be. I think we're not going to have the same problems. Colonizing is not a good thing. I just don't think it's like the colonizing is not the real word for it, but it's like that's what like when people talk about it, they talk about it like China's colonizing parts of Africa and Cambodia and you know poor developing countries who need the money. It's just
and putting their companies and making their products and doing their things there and moving in. And basically taking over corporate-wise, not necessarily war-wise.
Yeah. And then they're only bringing in Chinese workers. That's the thing.
Right. So that population ends up just becoming a Chinese population.
Yeah. There was these stories about, like, how... I don't know. I've heard a few of them. Of, like... In a African country, there being people like locals not let into like restaurants.
Oh wow!
Because they were black.
No.
Yeah, I'll have to look up the stories. But you know, Travis, the Daily Show, he does a little
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah. That's right. I said Travis. Trevor Noah. Which I said Trevor Noah is not.
Were you thinking of Travis Barker?
Maybe.
I look so much like him.
He does this. Why China is in Africa. He does a piece on it. China is colonizing Africa. So,
yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I've always loved the stuff, that he does on those things. Those are fantastic.
But it's also not just Africa. Like, that. I mean, what's happening in Cambodia is also the same thing. Like, you know, taking up the resource, like, you know, and granted, this is not like, this is partially to blame because the Cambodians corrupt government as well. Like, there's a lot of corruption there. So, you know, there are some people who are in, like, hey, write a check, do what you want to do, you know. So, it's not on Cambodian side. Oh, I don't know how I got on that subject. How did I get on that subject?
It's very interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, we were more, not to bring it back to it, but we were
Club
more talking 33. About...
just kidding.
it was Club 33. Being the poor of Cambodia seem to be happier, even though they are still in poverty.
Yeah. Which is why it's a weird thing to say that this is why America is not the greatest country in the world, but there are still things that are like definitely better than other countries. There we go. Full circle.
Full circle. Brought it back. Amazing.
Yeah.
Was there anything you guys are looking forward to in the next week or so?
Yeah. She's going to Texas.
Okay, that was one of the things I wanted to keep checking in with you on, because I know that's one of the trips that you're not excited to see some of your coworkers.
I have so much anxiety about it.
How are you? I guess you could ask, how are you parenting yourself and taking care of you in the stress before this?
Honestly, I've been like just kind of thinking of how, I mean, I don't think I have been. I believe in myself And maybe I just need to say that more. I believe that I can behave.
Yeah.
Right? I can be capable. Like, I can win this one. Because I'm not saying there's going to be any moment. The funny thing is, I've been on 5 trips, right? This will be my 5th trip with them. Only one was bad. So. Yeah.
But it was so bad that it's like affecting your taste of this entire company.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really want to just like get through it as gracefully as possible. And if it means I have to swallow my tongue, I'm just hoping that I am. But I also never want to feel like I want people like.
They can't just say whatever.
Yeah.
No.
And they can't. And like that's when you start recording. Albeit like go to your phone and just start audio recording and just say, just want you to know I'm gonna be recording this situation real quick. Just so and do it as more of like say that you have ADHD and do it more as like I forget details sometimes, so I'm gonna just record this. You know, and instead of just being like, bitch, I'm going to catch you on tape if you continue this kind of behavior. But, you know, like start recording also for your, like, if you have to expulge this to the company and explain what the hell is going on, like get out a pen and paper. Like as soon as things start changing or like emotionally anything, start taking notes.
Yeah.
Physically or on your phone or something like that, blame it on ADHD. But anytime something shifts, you know that you do have control in the situation.
Yeah. I think that
you're not crazy about this. Yeah.
It gives you more power in this situation, too, I think. Like, because it's like, if you're going to, I'm going to document it. Like,
yeah, and for my etiquette and for yours.
Yeah, and then you don't feel like you maybe even have to say anything because you've written it down. You know, like, of course, if someone comes out of pocket, yes. But I do think that writing things down helps. My therapist has me write down my triggers. And I think it does help because then you kind of like, but yours isn't even a trigger. Yours is just someone should. People being fucking dicks, like,
yeah. I think it's gonna be like, this is not the group where I have to worry about them the way they're gonna talk to me as much. Uh-huh. I think this is, it's, I just don't want any weirdness or feel like I'm under a microscope. Like, yeah. And this girl does not know how to kind of hide her feelings. Like, she can be very, she'll be still nice, not nice, but keep a flat affect. But obviously, this is my supervisor I'm going with, but obviously is just ticking away this shit I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
I mean, is there any credence to like pretending that you have a different boss that's not watching you? Like how you would act if Justin was now your boss and just like kind of playing a mind game with yourself?
Maybe I need to, because I know that I would be fine. Like,
exactly. That's the thing is that, I think that kind of goes back to that pendulum swing thing of like, when you self-flagellate on this situation, you're just pendulum swinging yourself into another self-flagellation moment. If there's any like thing that can like kick you into that mode of like, you know, that under the microscope, there's nothing for you to hide. There's nothing there that you don't do and don't excel at. Like, we all know that you are an excellent worker. But anybody that like turns a shady eye almost feels like, oh great, now they're going to fuck me over some way, somehow. And then it's almost like you trip even more and fall into that, like, oh, I guess I knew that would happen. But like someone giving off that feeling of like, I'm watching your every move you make is 100% going to make you trip up.
Totally.
Both things are not great.
Have you guys?
So what's the one thing you can control in it?
Have y'all ever played like a sport, like on a high school team or something?
Yeah.
Every time I kind of get a promotion at a job, I kind of go into the mode you're talking about, Katie.
Yeah.
And it the first memory I have of it is playing high school basketball, like making varsity, but sitting on the bench the entire time. But then when I would finally get to go in, I would be so nervous. I forgot how to play basketball, you know, because you're just so worried about making a mistake that you're not doing you.
Right.
And I feel like I have a lot of that too, you know, like I guess if you can just find a way to stay on track point.
Yeah, I think I'm just committing to like being my like my best self. That's like what I can do, right? Like, and you know, praying that I I need patience, that I just have patience, like, you know, and that it's gonna. That's all I can do, because I think I don't ever want anybody to forget that I'm a good person. Like
you are. And let myself, let Nico like say this, and like say this with impact. You are a good person and you are a good worker. And that's undeniable. The problem that sometimes comes from this, it feels like, is that like when we feel like we're being put in that place of being a bad worker, of doing bad things, it's almost like we're like, wait, which part? This part over here, and you touch on it, and then you bungle something, or you fail, or you do something wrong, and then you're just pigeonholed in that situation. So instead of focusing on that, I think the things that you're focusing on are really good, and are the things that are going to make you that good worker, and know that you know what you're doing, and that it doesn't give. No one gives a fuck if whoever the fuck is watching you, because you're going to do a good job anyway. And that's the thing to focus on, where it's like, okay, like you've had this with friends before, I know, where like someone paints you in some light that is not true. Mm-hmm. And then like you think like, oh, I can just move on from this. And it still stings and it still hurts and it still should not be done. But you also know what's true. And what's true for you is that you're a good worker. You rock your jobs, and you're a delightful person.
Yeah.
So go be that.
Yeah. And I, well, you know, the one thing I am taking out of Noom is that, like, you know, Noom, sponsor us, because I'm really seeing so many different changes in the way I think about things. I'm saying I believe and I commit to like doing better and being okay. Like I can also, I believe that I'm going to be okay. Right. Good. And that'll really inform a lot of my behavior. And I'm just speaking it out loud until it becomes true.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I am nervous, and I guess I get to be.
Totally. You, of course, yeah, you get to be. And I was just shocked, like, when this incident happened, you know, because I work with a lot of POC people. I have a lot of POC women in my friendship groups. And Marie's situation would come up in conversation. And every single woman I spoke with, oh, that happened to me. This happened to me. And they would tell, I was hearing these stories. And, you know, I think it's, as a white person, it just really made me realize how much I have to advocate for people in the workplace.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably happened to you a bunch of times too, Marie. Like, I'm sure this isn't the first time something like this has even happened.
I think I'm so, it's funny, I've been thinking about that and I'm realizing it when it's happened.
I think it's funny how people react to it when they're confronted with it. And when even... If I was misunderstood or something like that, I would shut the fuck up and just take the hit and be like, my intention was not that. It did not reflect that. But I would absolutely take, if someone told me I was doing something racist or I was doing something that was some kind of assumption and someone gave me that feedback, I would definitely take that to heart. Instead of like fighting the opposite and
Or tattling. You're going and tattling.
Or like even I don't know. It just like it feels like if something is offensive to someone and they call me out on it, I'm gonna take that to heart. Like, did I go too far with a joke? Did I say something? Did I do something? Did I assume something? And if someone calls me out on that, like I feel like this is like the hardest thing, at least for white women in general, mm-hmm. right now, is to just be like shut up and listen. Yeah. There's something not right here, and I'm not treating someone fairly. And I don't know why people don't do that more often, because I think it's hard to face your own bullshit.
Well, totally. Like what we talked about in the beginning is like shame will send you on a spiral. Yeah. And I say this to Nico, but I need to learn it for myself. Anytime you're in a shame spiral, like you're just kind of wasting your time, because it's got like you got to get past it anyways, right? It doesn't serve. There's no part of this that's going to serve you. It's so much easier. It's actually easier when you figure out how to do it better, to just kind of be like, yeah, I fucked up.
Stop the water slide down to spiral of hell.
Trying to climb back up the water.
Let them off at the right pass, and like we'll get back up to the top and we'll have the fun spiral, because that you just went down the wrong tube.
It's just faster and easier just to kind of be like, yeah, I fucked. And I think it's, I think it's because I used to love to be like, oh, I did this wrong and now everything is horrible. All my friends are going to hate me. And what if people knew this about me? And it's just like, and I still do that, but I just think
I was going to say you did that at the job where we met.
When I tell you that I'm a 1,000 times better than I used to be, and that's only because it hurts so much and it's so hard to give shame that much time.
Yeah,
it's just like
it chips owning away it. Your soul. Yeah,
yeah. It's just owning it has been faster towards my healing.
Oh, well.
Babe.
I have no doubt it's gonna get better. It's totally gonna get better. And we're gonna get you that napping through happy hour bump at your gigs. So can you tell everybody like where can they find you? Where can they see your next set?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh,
DJ
shit.
Nico.
DJ Nico.
Nico.
Well, this Friday, the 27th, I'm actually DJing and putting part of the events committee for this really big art show at Soma Arts, the nonprofit that I work for, which is a K-8 art and social justice program. Each class has put together a series of project-based art and so it's at Soma Arts. It's a huge art gallery. Marie actually works there a lot for other events. Like they had a really cool fashion show there. And so I'm going to be DJing that. We're trying to raise some funds.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I don't believe this episode is going to go out in time.
Oh,
for that.
No.
What? I'm
oh,
so
no.
sorry.
Where else am I? I think Family Affair 2-3 is my next.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, just y'all follow me on Instagram at @DJNico.
Yeah,
won't be disappointed.
DATDJNICO.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just for those out there.
Yes. Always good. And Marie, where can people find you? What's coming up? What can people look out for?
I have a few bookings this month, but I'm flying in on February 3rd as well, because I host the party while that DJ Nico spins at. And then the next week I will be performing in Oakland, doing a little disco drag night fun. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. And you can also find her on Instagram at
MadMarie13.
That's right. You can find me at El Sassy Pants. I've got not much coming up other than I took a walk with my elderly neighbor this afternoon around the block and didn't wear the brace, didn't have a crutch. It was a good time.
You raw dogged it.
I raw dogged it. I was raw dogging life, guys. Good times. Yes.
I love it.
So I am getting back into the auditions and things like that and self-tapes. So if you need a tall, goofy actress, hit your girl up. At El Sassy Pants, you can find me under the actor name Katie Hampton. And you guys, I just want to remind you that the universe is utter chaos, so please be kind. Marie, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, so if you want to make your carpets smell good, get some baking soda and some lavender essential oil. Ooh. Put it into the baking soda, spread that all over your carpet, and then when you vacuum it up, it'll smell like lavender in your house.
That's incredible. I'm not going to lie. I'm very excited to do that right now. Or honestly, probably more likely get Merc to do that.
I could see him being into that, actually.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like yes. A little chemist. Like, hey, I mean, smell like Katie. Like,
he loves to clean too. So, and like, you know, with the gimpy leg, it's like, you know, it's one of his.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the sloppy person.
He seems very clean.
Like, yeah, I'm the odd couple. Yeah. Like, where I'm the messy one, he's the clean one. It's 100% that. But, you know, that's just our personalities. Anyway.
Still a 10, Katie. You're still
thank you. See you guys next time.
Yeah, thank
bye.
You.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm. Available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.